What's the most thirsty that you've ever been? What I would venture to say it probably involves some sun and being out in the middle of the elements. Although there was a time in which it didn't seem to involve the sun. We were driving down the road, and since my brother's not running the sound this morning, I can tell stories on my brother. And so I'm going to tell a story on my brother today. We were going down the road. We were traveling, and my brother said, "I'm thirsty." "Well, get a drink." "No, I'm thirsty. Get a drink." We always carried a little orange cooler. I remember that orange cooler. Every trip we'd go on, we'd carry that little orange cooler. It always had water in it. But my brother, there are times in which he wasn't interested in water. He wanted a Coke or a soft drink of some sort, and he said, "I'm thirsty." We're in the middle of nowhere. We're not going to stop at a convenience store because it's not a convenience store to be seen anywhere. We're not gonna all of a sudden there's not gonna be a soda magically appear before the sky. And so he's got two choices. He can either choose to stay thirsty, or he can drink some water. Now in that instant, I don't think he was that thirsty. I think he wanted a soda. So he should have said, "I want a soda," but that's not what he said. He said he was thirsty. I want you to picture for a moment with me this morning that you're in the deserts of West Texas. And you're in the middle of nowhere. There are no town for miles. And in a moment of spontaneity, you decide you're going to jump on a four-wheeler that you had in the back of your vehicle. And you go for a ride. Don't know why you do it, but you decide to do it. You take some water with you, and you get out, and you go for a ride. And so you're riding around just enjoying yourself. And all of a sudden, your four-wheeler decides it wants to play out. So you find yourself afoot. No worries at all. I've got my truck. We're not too far from my truck, so I'll walk up to my truck, try to turn the truck over, and the truck won't start. No worries at all. We live in the age of technology. I'll just get on my cell phone and make a phone call. You pull out your cell phone. AT&T, Sprint, and Verizon, and every other company has forgotten about one part of the Texas, and that's the remote parts of West Texas. You have no cell phone service. I've never been in this predicament before. So what am I going to do? So I guess we have to do what they used to do, walk. So you start walking. You get all the water you can carry, and you start walking. Remember, you're miles from any town. Well, you just drank your last drop of water from your water bottle. The sun's beating down on it. Your body begins to sweat out any remaining liquid that you have in your body, and you begin looking for the nearest water hole, shade, or town. Remember, it's West Texas. There is no shade. After walking for several hours, your body begins to weaken, and you begin crying out, "Give me water, just one drop of water. I need water." Suddenly you look up and you see someone running towards you, and they're running towards you, and as they get close to you, they yell, "Are you all right?" And you cry out, I need water. Now he picks you up, he takes you to his truck, and in his truck he has water for you. Now in that moment, what you need is water. You don't need money because it won't help you. It doesn't matter what latest phone is on the market because it can't give you any water. It doesn't care about the sports scores. Your body needs and wants water. And so this man takes you in and he gives you water. In Isaiah chapter 55 today, God offers us an invitation. He invites us to come to Him. He invites us to come in and partake of His grace. He invites us to the fountain of God's grace. Read with me this morning, Isaiah chapter 55. See, I was too busy talking. I wasn't turning to it myself. Isaiah chapter 55. Never fear, I was in Bible drill. I was supposed to be able to find something in 8 seconds. 55 verses 1 through 7. "Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. You who have no money, come buy and eat. come buy wine and milk without money and without cost? Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen. Listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest affair. Give ear and come to me. Hear me, that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon the nations you know not, and the nations that do not know you will hasten to you. Because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with his splendor, or with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and the Lord will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for your scriptures. May it draw us closer to you today, and may it satisfy the depths of our soul. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. This passage this morning, I want to share some truths with you this morning. The first truth is this, that God offers us his grace. God offers his grace to everyone. Isaiah chapter 55 verse 1 says, "Come all you who are thirsty, come to the waters." Notice this verse says all. This verse doesn't say come some of you. It doesn't say come one. It doesn't say come a few. It doesn't say come a certain person. It says come all. All who are thirsty, come. It doesn't matter where you are or where you've been. God offers his grace to you. It doesn't matter if you are man or woman, Jew or Gentile, born in a free land or born in oppression. It doesn't matter if you're a celebrity or you're a common person. It doesn't matter if you're a Muslim, a Christian, or an atheist, one who grew up in church, or one who never set foot in a church. God offers his grace to you if you will receive it. Now, there are some who don't receive it, but he offers his grace to all who will receive it. It doesn't matter what you've done. There is no sin that's big enough that God will not offer his grace to you. God loves you. There is nothing that you can do to make God love you more. Do you believe that? And there's nothing that you can do that can make God love you less. I heard it said, I think Max Lucado said it in one of his books, if God had a refrigerator, each and every one of our pictures would be on it, because God loves us that much. He cares for us that much. You ever seen the commercial? There's this commercial I used to watch on TV. There's about 9 billion car insurance commercials on TV, right? About every, during football season, about every other commercial, the football commercial. I mean, an insurance commercial. Call State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm's there. You can save 15% in 15 minutes with Geico. Come to Farmers University. We're insurance for you. And then, of course, we've got Progressive. Some of those commercials crack me up. One of the commercials I remember from Progressive, it's been from a little while back, but they had this celebrity on TV, and he's talking about how he gets all of this special treatment because he's a celebrity. When he stays in a motel, he gets a wake-up call. Now, what's that? Used to, everybody did that, but wake-up call, you just use your cell phone, right? Set the alarm on your cell phone. He brags that he gets his bags carried to his room. His bed is turned down. He gets complimentary snacks in his room. In the next scene, we find this very same celebrity sitting in an office and sitting in an insurance agent's office, and the insurance agent says, "I've looked over all of your personal information, and I have found the right policy for you." And the celebrity says, "Look, special treatment again." And the insurance agent bursts the guy's bubble when he says, "No, I do this for all my customers." There is no favorites with God. God doesn't play favorites. He offers his grace to anyone who will come. He offers his grace to anyone who will receive it. Have you received it yet today? Have you received the grace of God? Have you come to a point in your life where you said, "Yes, I need salvation. Yes, I need grace"? If not, I invite you to do that today. Romans 10, 12 through 13 says, "For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone, anytime you see it, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Love that scripture. John semi-quotes Joel 2:32, which says the same thing. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Have you called on the name of the Lord today? But not only does God offer his grace to everyone, God's grace is free. God's grace is free. It is without cost to you and to me. Look at verse 1 again with me this morning. It says, "Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. You who have no money, come, buy, and eat." Now imagine for a second with me this morning, you go to HEB or your grocery store of choice. And you go to your grocery store of choice and you decide to fill up your basket. You go to the meat aisle and you fill up your basket. You go to the candy aisle. And children, close your ears. You fill up your basket with candy. You go to the chip aisle and you fill up your basket. You just go all over the store. You fill up your basket in your basket, and then it overflows, and so you have to get a second basket. And so by the time you get everything you do, you get up there and they ring up the ticket, and the clerk says that'll be $749.19. And you look at the clerk and you say, "I don't have any money." "That's all right. We take check here." "I don't have any checks." "Oh, you're just fine. We take debit card or credit card." "I don't have a debit card. I don't have a credit card either." Do you think you're going to be walking out with your $749.19 bill of groceries? Probably not. To go to HEB, you've got to have money to buy food or some sort of financial stuff to buy food. But did you hear what the verse said? Go back to the verse. It says, "Come, you who have no money, come buy and eat." It said, "Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost." God's grace costs you and me nothing. It is a free gift as any gift has ever been. It's a free gift. Let me put it to you like this. Let's say for Christmas, what somebody want for Christmas this year? Any kids, do you have something here that you want for Christmas? Teenagers, what do you want for Christmas? Somebody call it out. You don't know it. Xbox One, you know it's going to be here tomorrow, right? So you better get your list ready. Christmas will be here tomorrow. Not really, but it's moving that fast. Time seems to be moving that fast. Okay, so an Xbox One. All right, let's say it like this. Okay, somebody you love buys you an Xbox One for Christmas. And they bring this Xbox One. They got it all wrapped up pretty. And you open it, and you're like, "Oh, I got an Xbox One." And the next thing they tell you is, "Well, before you can play with that, you need to pay me for it." What? Pay? I thought it was a gift. So gifts are given. Gifts are free. And God's grace is a gift to you and to me. Listen to me this morning. There's no way that you can earn God's grace. You cannot be good enough. You cannot do enough good deeds. You cannot be religious enough. You can't go to church enough. You can't read your Bible enough to earn God's grace, because it cannot be earned. It is a gift of God. It is given freely. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, one of my favorite verses. "For by grace you are saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." We are saved by grace. I can't say, "Well, I got saved because I did this." And I can't say, "Because I got saved because I did this." I have to say, "I got saved because I trusted Jesus as my Savior, and He saved me." Let's go back to the HEB illustration one more time. Suppose you go through all the rigmarole and you get your groceries checked out, and the clerk says that'll be $749.19, and you say, "I have no money." But there's a person standing there that says to you, says to the clerk, "Put that on my tab." And then when the next person comes through the line, says, "Put that on my tab. And the next person comes through the line and says, put that on my tab. And then you find out that the guy saying that is the owner's son, paying your bill for you. Yes, grace comes without a cost to us, but it costs Jesus everything. He picked up the sin debt by dying on the cross. Grace did not come cheap to God, even though it comes free to us. Grace cost God His one and only Son dying upon a cross. He paid the price for you and for me. You're familiar with the song, "And when before the throne I stand in Him complete, Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat, Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, He washed it white as snow." Another song that has meaning for me is, "I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted because you were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your spirit lives within me." See, Christ, even though grace cost us nothing, it cost Christ everything. It cost Christ everything. God's grace, Jesus paid it all so that you and I could have the grace of God free of charge. We're grateful for that today. Thirdly, God's grace satisfies completely. God's grace satisfies completely. There's a spot deep inside of us. There's a desire deep inside of us that only God can quench. There's an unfulfilled hunger that only God can fulfill. Read with me verse 2. It says, "Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me. And eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest fare." Now, what's the best food that you have ever eaten? Or what food are you craving right now? This is participation time. You can participate. What's some of the best food you've ever had? Spaghetti. All right. Anybody else? Steak. All right. Anybody else? Macaroni and cheese? Crab. Huh? What'd you say, Roger? Lobster and crab. Popcorn shrimp. All right. Y'all ready to eat now? How dare a preacher, you know, bring up food in the middle of a sermon when he plans on talking a little bit longer? You know, that's kind of rude. Now, when Kira loves chocolate. She eats chocolate. She loves chocolate. And when she eats a food that she's been craving for a while, she goes, that hits the spot. It satisfies. It's a sacred delight. And that's what God's grace is to us. God's grace hits the spot of our life. It hits the need of our life. It satisfies us. It is a sacred delight. So next time you sit down and you chow down on the food of your choice that you enjoy, the food that you crave, I want you to think about how God's grace satisfies your soul. Think about how God's grace brings completeness to your life. Think about how God's grace works, satisfies you. It's the richest fare. It's the greatest delight. It's the most delicacy that you could eat, that you could partake of. There's a desire deep within your soul that only Christ can satisfy. He fills the hole inside of your heart. There's a song back when I was a kid that we used to sing. It stated that there's a God spot that only God can fill. Notice what the scripture says. It says, "Eat what is good. Your soul will delight in the richest fare." God's grace fulfills your soul like a glass of cool water after a hard day of working in the sun. God's grace soothes your soul like a cool touch of aloe vera on a sunburn. God's grace soothes the pain in your heart better than mom's kiss on a forehead when you skinned your knee. God's grace gives life to the lifeless soul. God's grace satisfies completely. But not only does God's grace satisfy completely, God's grace is eternal. God's grace is eternal. The second part of verse 3 says, "I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love, promised to David." God says, my grace is forever. It is forever. God's grace never stops. It never runs out. God always has a sufficient amount of grace. It is a fountain that never ends. It is a fountain that never ends. Now, not everything's that way, is it? You know, when Kira and I got married, I had an awesome-looking groom's cake. It was chocolate. It looked delicious. And when I went to get some, there wasn't any left. Still hard for me. It ran out. No chocolate. No chocolate cake. Don't know why I'm so upset. Chocolate cake, I'm a pie guy. Maybe it's because it was my wedding cake. I don't know. God's grace doesn't run out. The barrel never runs empty. It's full all the time. And it's full enough to pour into others. God's grace is everlasting. It is by His grace that we will spend an eternity with God. As we live our life, God's grace is sufficient to get us through every trial, circumstance, and pain that we will ever experience. Do you believe that? That God's grace will get us through every trial, every circumstance, every pain that we will ever experience. See, God's grace just isn't for salvation. It's for everyday life. It's not just amazing grace, how sweet the sound, now I'm saved. It's amazing grace every day. I live in it. It's eternal. And lastly, by God's grace, our sins are forgiven. Verse 7 reads, "Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon." This verse reminds us that God is a merciful God. What is mercy? Mercy is God not giving us what we deserve. What is grace is God giving us what we don't deserve. And we have a God who is merciful, and we have a God who gives to us graciously. I'm grateful that God will not give us what we deserve, because I deserve to be separated from Him. By His grace, I stand as His child. By His grace, I stand before Him. By His grace, my sins are forgiven. And by His grace, your sins are forgiven. Your sins will be forgiven and forgotten as far as the east is from the west. Now, when I read that as a child, I was like, what's that mean? Now I'm 39. What does that mean? Well, if I'm going east, I guess I'm facing east this morning, right, folks? Yeah, I think. Is this east? South. East that way. Well, see, I'm turned around. Anyway, if I'm turned east, I can go east. I'll never run into west. You say, well, if the world's a circle, you're coming part of west. Yeah, but I'm still going east. Let's just put what the author intended there. The author intended to say, God, forget your sin. God, forget your sin. Aren't you grateful that God forgets your sin? That your sins are wiped clean, they're washed away. God's grace allows us to stand before God as righteous people, not standing on our own righteousness, but on His. I don't stand before you today righteous because I'm righteous. I stand today righteous because God has imputed His righteousness upon me. And that's the same for each of you in this room today. Are you thirsty this morning? Have you accepted God's invitation to partake of His fountain of grace? Have you come to a point where you've trusted Jesus as your Savior? Maybe you've come this morning and your soul is wanting. I invite you to ask Jesus to fill the want of your soul. Maybe some of you here today, you say, I'm a Christian, but there's still a part of you saying, I'm needing to feel accepted. In Christ, you are accepted. Come to this fountain. Maybe you're coming today and you're saying, you know what, I'm needing approval. There are some folks, they spend their entire life chasing approval because they didn't get approval from their parents. I invite you today to come to the fountain to find the approval of God. Are you needing forgiveness today? You may say, I've sinned. Come to this fountain and you will find forgiveness. Are you needing love today? Maslow's hierarchy of needs says that each and every one of us has a basic need to be loved. I invite you to come to this fountain of grace today and experience the grace of God. There's an old song that I sang when I was a kid. It's called The River of Life. I've got the river of life flowing out of me. Makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Opens prison's door, set the captives free. I got a river of life flowing out of me. Spring up, oh well, gush, 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 gush. Oh, my soul, spring up, oh well, splish, splash, and make me holy. Spring up, oh well, whoosh, and give to me that life abundantly. Come to the fountain today. Get the river of life flowing in and out of your life. Come to the fountain today and let Christ work in you a fresh work. You say, well, I've accepted Christ. Well, maybe that's true, but maybe sometimes the fountain needs, we need to go back to that fountain because we've gotten away from it. Let the river of life flow out of you. Let the life of Christ flow out of you. John 10:10 says, I've come to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. Let the abundant life of Christ flow from your life today. Let us pray. Holy God, we thank you for your abundant grace that saved a wretch like me. I'm thankful, Lord, that you meet the deepest needs of our life, the deepest needs of our hearts by your great grace. I pray today, Lord, that if there's one in this room today who's never accepted your grace, that today would be the day that they receive your grace, maybe for the first time, and their lives are changed. Lord, maybe there's a believer here today, Lord, who's just been beaten down by life, and they need a fresh touch, a fresh wind to blow across them today. They need a fresh dousing today. I pray today, Lord, that you would douse them with your grace and your mercy. Maybe there's one here today who's discouraged and they need encouragement. Lord, be their encouragement. Maybe there's one here who just needs a touch from you. Just touch them today. Lord, we pray today that during this time that your Holy Spirit would move. And as it moves, lives will be touched. In Jesus' name we pray.